Heavenly Father, you are a kind, gracious, merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, giving grace to many, Lord, giving grace to those who are here. And Lord, as we sit under your word today, we ask God that you would extend that grace to us again and grab our hearts. Teach us, Lord, about what it means to have shepherds in the church that watch over us, Lord, underneath you, our great shepherd. Please guide this time, Lord, and help us, Lord, to see what your word teaches. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. And so this week, we're taking a break from the Sermon on the Mount to do some teaching on biblical leadership. And our desire as your elders here at the church is to have a more biblical framework for how we function as pastors here in the church. And our hope is that each one of these men who serve in this role will have the opportunity to carry out a shepherding ministry for this flock. Not just because it's practical, but because it's biblical. Tell you what, I just noticed something very important. I do not have my Bible up there with me. Something I'm going to need in just a moment. So I apologize for that. All right. Now I have it. I am equipped. One of the things that I was excited about when I came here to the church almost 4 years ago was that there was a board of elders already in place here at CAS. And one of the challenges that we've encountered since I've been here has been to communicate to you exactly what it is that the elders are supposed to do. I think if somebody were to ask you who your pastor is, I imagine that many or most of you would say, well, it's Pastor Lonnie, and I'm glad to be the pastor here, and I appreciate that. But I want you to know that biblically speaking, according to the Bible, those who are elders here in the church are also pastors, that these men are your shepherds. And our hope is that we begin functioning that way. So we're wanting to make some changes, and I'll get to those at the end. And I'm really excited about this. Because I think that it is in obedience to God that we are moving in this direction, and because it will also be a blessing to you. And generally that's the way things work, isn't it? That obedience and blessing go together. And so the first thing that I want to do this morning is to lay some biblical groundwork. What does God say about how he will care for his people? How is he going to do that? And then I want to tell you what we are planning to do to try and then better care for God's people here at CAS. Unfortunately for us, our God communicates in ways that we can easily understand. He talks to us in ways that we can comprehend. I'm very thankful for that. And Jesus often used simple stories, didn't he, when he was preaching and teaching to God's people to help them grasp great truths, simple stories. And the Bible is very illustrative. And God made it that way so that we would know what he's like and how we're supposed to respond to him. And one of the most used illustrations the Bible gives us is that of a shepherd caring for his sheep. In the military, I went on a large training operation in Greece. And there were hundreds of Marines stationed out in this field. We had, in a very rural community, very small town out in the middle of these fields. We had all our Humvees set up. All our equipment was out there in the field scattered about. And one day, this shepherd with his flock comes wandering through right there where we were positioned at. Talk about a clash of two worlds. So here he was, a man with a staff, shoes on his feet, with sheep following behind, walking through the most technologically advanced military in the world. It wasn't something that I had ever seen before. Maybe you have. Maybe you grew up in a very rural area where they still have sheep out there on the field, out there on the hills wandering around, but I had not seen that. If I want my kids to go and see sheep, we go to the Buffalo Zoo. That's generally the way that it works, right? And in most societies, though, over the course of world history, a shepherd and his sheep was a common thing, something that people saw very often. And so when God communicated in this way, using a shepherd and his sheep to talk about how he was with his people, people got it. They understood what he was getting at. So I'm wanting to show you this morning how this illustration is often used in the Bible, but I also want to show you how this illustration sets a pattern for how leaders are supposed to lead God's people within the church. So I'm going to give you several principles from Scripture. We're going to run through several texts. I would advise you that as I'm reading through these, that you don't try to follow along necessarily in your Bible. They're going to be on the screen for the most part. But maybe you could write these down. That way you could revisit them as the week goes along. So the first principle that I want to show you this morning is that God is the ultimate shepherd of His sheep. God is the ultimate shepherd of His sheep. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 says, "He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms." Psalm 100, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." And you all know Psalm 23 very well, one of the most well-known psalms, but also just one of the most well-known passages in the Bible, where it begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." So get your mind around this for just a moment, how the Bible is describing our God and what He's like. I mean, I love that first one there in Isaiah 40. "He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs in His arms." It's describing a shepherd who cares for His sheep. He cares them. He loves them. He doesn't want any harm to come to them. He's scooping them up and caring for these sheep that belong to Him. He's closely watching them. He's tending to them, gently leading them toward the things that they need, and He's leading them away from those things that they don't need, things that would harm them. And our God is waiting on even the weakest of the sheep, and He's not going to leave anybody behind. That's what He's like for His church. That's what He's like for you. Your God cares for you, and He is your great shepherd. So He is the ultimate shepherd of the sheep. But under the Old Covenant, talking about the Old Testament here, God appointed leaders to act as shepherds on His behalf. So He's always had people that He has set in place to take care of His people. He uses means. He uses leadership. He uses godly people to look after those that are His. Psalm 77. Just a couple of verses here. I don't have these on the screen. Just listen to what it says, though. Psalm 77, verses 19 and 20. He says, "Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen." What Bible story is this talking about? What person was leading God's people at that time? God's footprints were unseen, though He was leading the people. But there was a man that He had put in place to lead them. "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." So here are His flock walking through the waters toward the promised land, and yet God has put two people in front of them, Moses and his brother Aaron, to take care of those sheep. Psalm 78, the next psalm, describes how God cared for His sheep under another man, starting at verse 70. "He chose David His servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the nursing ewes, He brought him to shepherd Jacob His people, Israel His inheritance. With upright heart He shepherded them and guided them with His skillful hand." And so it was no mistake that David was a shepherd, right? Genuinely was a shepherd who cared for the sheep. But then God took him from the sheepfold and brought him to the kingship. And there he faithfully shepherded God's people, guiding them with His skillful hand. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, you know, I mean, Moses, Aaron, David, these were all very special people, weren't they? They were. But God used plenty of ordinary people to do His work, too. And so after them, you've got prophets, you've got priests, you've got other kings. They were there to care for the spiritual condition of God's people. They were to teach them about God and His ways and lead them toward righteousness. And if you know anything about the story of the Old Testament, how Israel, or what happened with Israel, you know that as the leaders went, so went the people. And so when the prophets and the priests and the kings, when they began to wander after idols, began to drift from their God and live lives of sin, so the people did. But God considered the leaders to be responsible They were the ones that he had set in place. They were the ones that were supposed to lead God's people toward godliness. And so we see in Ezekiel 34 some very condemning words from God toward his shepherds. He says, "The word of the Lord came to me," this is Ezekiel, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." And you get kind of an idea here, don't you, about what the responsibilities of the shepherds were. They were to take care of the weak. They were to bind up the injured. They were to lead God's people toward fruitful pastures. They were to seek out the lost. And with force, instead of gentleness, you ruled them. And sadly, we see this as the consistent pattern in the Old Testament, that God's shepherds failed to care for his people. You know, every now and then you got a good king. Every now and then you got a good prophet, but there were so many false prophets who led people away from God, so many false kings, evil kings, who went after their own way, didn't care for the ways of God, and therefore God's people drifted. They built Asherah poles on the hills, worshiped false gods right there in Israel, and it was an abomination to God, and he held these leaders responsible. But there was hope, and hope was still yet to come. And that's the next principle that we see in Scripture, that Jesus Christ is the perfect shepherd who came to provide and give direction and peace to God's sheep. And so later there in Ezekiel 34, after God condemns all these evil shepherds, the prophet speaks of one who is yet to come. So as bad as all of this has been so far, all of my shepherds are feeding themselves, they are shearing the sheep, taking the fat, clothing themselves, he says, "And I will set up over them," this is God speaking, "one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." And so in the Old Testament, we see the name David there, but we know now that he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the chief shepherd. He's the one that God would send to bind up the wounds and carry the weak on his shoulders. And other than Psalm 23, John 10 is the most well-known passage about a shepherd and his sheep. And here we find Jesus speaking about himself. Listen to how he describes himself. "And be thankful that you have a shepherd like this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also." That's you, by the way. You weren't yet in the fold, but now you are. "And they will listen to my voice." So there will be one flock, one shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's what your shepherd is like. And so Jesus tells us that he takes responsibility for all the needs of his people. He's going to care for them. He's going to lead them. He's going to feed them. He's going to protect them. All those who hear his voice and come to them, not one will ever be snatched out of his hand. That's what your shepherd is like. But the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, and when he did, just like in the Old Testament, God had appointed leaders to care for his people, so under the New Covenant, Jesus continues to provide care for his people through elders. Elders who are called to him, called by him to shepherd the flock. And so the New Testament describes in several places the responsibility of these men who are elders, also shepherds, and how they are to go about this this care of God's people. Listen to how Paul addresses the Ephesian elders. And keep in mind, that's who he's talking to. He's talking about men who have been given charge over a church to protect and care for the people of God. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." God did this. "To care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." And so here we're being told that Jesus Christ came. He purchased a church, purchased a people for himself with his own blood. And now the Holy Spirit comes along and appoints certain overseers to care for the church. Peter likewise speaks about the elders and their responsibilities. He says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly." So he's saying, not that you need to be forced to, but willingly. You want to do this as God would have you, not for shameful gain. You're not doing it for money. You're not doing it for attention. You're doing it for God, eagerly, because you desire this. "Not domineering over those in your charge, not lording over them, not abusing your power, but being examples to the flock." The flock should be able to see what their shepherds are like, and those shepherds should be looking to Jesus to see what they are to be like. And so in that way, everyone is being pointed to Christ, living an example of him. And so the elders here, we're told in the New Testament, are the pastors. Elders are the pastors. And it's not a separate office. Pastors aren't the guys who are getting paid, and the elders are just the guys that are volunteers. That's not the way that it works. And currently there are four elders in the church, and they are not called to simply be decision makers. They're not just called to be budget planners, the guys who meet late at night on some of those Tuesday or Wednesday nights just to talk about the things of the church. That's not just what they do. They're not event coordinators. These men are your shepherds. The qualifications for these men are given in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. You can read those. Basically, what you'll see is that these are called to be godly men. Nothing real special as far as character is concerned. But what you will see is that they are called to be teachers. That's the one ability that these elders are supposed to have to lead God's people. They have to be able to rightly handle the word of truth, because that is their primary means of feeding God's sheep. And often in Scripture we see that this responsibility is not left to just one man, but the task is given to a plurality of elders. Probably having some battery issues. No, I'm not. Tell you what. But we'll often see that this responsibility is not just left to one man. It's too big of a burden for one man to carry. It's given to a plurality or to many elders. And there's a number of practical reasons why that would be the case. For instance, if there was just one pastor here, even two, how would this one or two people have the time to properly take care of all of God's sheep? There are 150 people basically here at this church, probably about 80 households, maybe more, maybe closer to 100. How are all of those households going to receive the proper care if this work is left to one or two people? Some people would not and have not received the proper care because it is too much work, quite honestly, for myself or myself and somebody else. There's only so much time, there's only so much ability. And so if there are men who are qualified and called to the task, they should be part of this work. And this should not be a responsibility that is taken lightly at all. That's what Peter is telling us. It should be done eagerly, because elders will have to give an account to God for how they care for the sheep. This is something that your shepherds, talking about myself here too, we will have to stand before God someday and give an account for how we discharged our work. And so therefore, knowing that, as you understand that, the sheep are to respect the authority of their shepherds. Hebrews chapter 13 says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." So basically he's saying, don't make problems for your leaders. That's not going to benefit you at all. They're keeping watch over your souls, and they're going to have to give an account. And so I know this has been, in some ways, a very quick crash course in the biblical foundations of shepherding, but hopefully you'll see why your elders think that there needs to be a change in the way that we both think about our leaders, that there is more than one shepherd, more than two shepherds here at the church, but also wanting to change how we function. Because up to this point, I know that this has not consistently been the way that the men have functioned that you've elected, because that's not how we've defined the role. But we're looking to change the way that we define this role of elders, because we believe this is how God has defined the role, and our desire is to obey Him. And just a side note here, and try to eliminate any possible confusion. As you all know, Jeremy McCool came on staff here this year as the associate pastor. And the title pastor describes his role as a ministry leader. And we, as your leaders, think this is the kind of heart that he has. He has a pastor's heart. And he's here to assist and lead in ministry in any way that he possibly can. And Jeremy has been doing that. And he's also been getting to know at this time the congregation. He's also been getting to know the community. And he's going to be assisting the shepherding of God's people here. But his role right now is a bit different than those of the elders. Elders are elected by the congregation. You all have chosen your elders. And we hope that that will be the case for him in the future. And if that happens, and we expect it to, any confusion by his title of pastor with what I'm communicating to you here will disappear at that time. And so we're wanting God's word to guide us in what we do. So he gives us the direction for our ministry. He sets the course with what he says here in his word. Not our church constitution. Not what people expect of us. Not my own opinion. And it seems clear that elders are to carry the load in shepherding, the oversight of the spiritual condition of God's people. And so what are we going to do? What are we looking to do, or what are we looking to change here, to change the function or the role here of God's people? And I don't think this is a major change, but it's going to be a good start. And so, first of all, we have to answer the question, who is it that we are called to shepherd? Who are your elders responsible for? As they stand before God someday, who will they have to give an account to Him for? And so we have to know as best we can, who are the people that God is giving us to care for? And the clearest way for us to do that is to take our membership list. Take our membership list and divide the households on that list between the four elders. And these are the people who will receive the priority of the care of the shepherds. And so those who are members of this church, at one point or another, it could have been 50 years ago, it could have been 1 year ago, they made a public commitment to love and serve the other members of this church, and they have also committed themselves to submit to the authority of their leaders for their good. And with that being said, I understand there are a lot of people who attend this church who are not members. And if you've been here for a significant amount of time and you have never made this commitment to the other members of the body, or make the commitment to live under the authority of your leaders, I'd have to ask you this morning, why not? Why have you not? There's probably a good reason for it. And if there is, we certainly want to ask you guys to talk to us about that. Help us to understand why you have not made that commitment, because we'd like for you to. Our desire is that everybody who is an attender here would become a member
of the church. Beginning the first Sunday in September, we're going to start a new members class. It lasts 4 weeks. So each Sunday there in September, that class will be taking place. We're kind of going over some of the curriculum for that, trying to revamp it in preparation for that. And so if you are a member, if you're not a member right now, we'd ask you to become interested. We hope you become interested in becoming a member of this church and to please come to the classes. So you can sign up out in the hallway to let us know that you're interested in that. But maybe what you can see then is that our desire is to raise the value of membership. I don't know how valuable it's been here in the past, but if we need to know or we're trying to understand who are the people that we're responsible for, that is the best way for us to do that. People who have willingly committed to being a member here. So we're raising the value of membership, but we also want to raise the responsibility of the elders. And so then, what will the responsibility of these men be? How will we divide them up, or how will we divide up the members? And then what do we do? How do we properly care for God's sheep, trying to carry out this task that God has given to us? Four things, and then we'll be done. First thing is that shepherds know the sheep. Shepherds have to know the sheep. You can't properly take care of them if you don't know them. So you have to know them. So Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is to be a pattern for the leaders that he has placed underneath him. They need to know the sheep. They need to sacrificially serve the sheep. They have to know them. And so each man will be taking responsibility in his own way of getting to know Jesus' sheep. Those people that he's responsible to care for. And so these men, whoever the elder that will be leading you, knowing you, this man is going to be contacting you, talking to you, praying for you, trying his best to get to know you, know how to encourage you as you have been given to him by God to care for. So the first thing that these shepherds need to do is to know the sheep. The second thing is to feed the sheep. Shepherd needs to know how to feed the sheep. Deuteronomy 8:3, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So our food are the words that come from God's mouth, the word of God. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And so a good shepherd, following the example of Jesus Christ, will feed the sheep. And so we feed on God's word. It sustains our spirit. The words of this book are what we set our souls and our hearts on. And a good shepherd is responsible to provide that food for the sheep. And some of the men may have greater responsibility in this regard when it comes to public teaching or public preaching of God's word, but there are a number of ways to bring scripture to bear on your life. And so the first thing he has to do is get to know you, find out what's going on in your life, and then figure out how he can best apply God's word to your life, encourage you with it, in times of need, to comfort you with God's word. So his responsibility will be to feed the sheep. Shepherds lead the sheep. Again, Psalm 23. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so our hope is that we can be more attentive. I know there are people that have slipped through the cracks. There are people who have come here in the past, people who are coming here now. They have slipped through the cracks and have not received the care that they need. And so our hope is that we can be more attentive to the spiritual needs of the congregation, even physical needs of the congregation, of course, which means leading people toward those things that honor God. So our hope is to lead you toward God, to more surely honor him, but also to lead you away from those things that could harm you. That's what a good shepherd does. Our aim is that we get to know you and that you'll learn to trust us with both the good and the bad. And aren't we always quick, too, We're always quick to let people know the good that is taking place in our lives. Everything is fine. We don't want anybody to know what's going on that might not be Christ-honoring or things that we're struggling with. But it is part of a shepherd's responsibility to know you well enough to understand both the good and the bad of your life so that we can properly lead you. We can't lead you away from things or try to give wisdom toward things if we don't know what's going on in your life. And so it will be the responsibility of these men to do just that, so that we can better lead. And lastly, shepherds protect the sheep. Shepherds protect the sheep. So again, this is Paul in Acts chapter 20 talking to those Ephesian elders. He says, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flocks." You're watching them carefully. "In which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." And we need to understand that we don't always recognize wolves when we see them. Wolves often are wearing sheep's clothing. But it's the responsibility of the shepherds to recognize wolves when they see them and to protect the flock against them. I know this primarily concerns wrong doctrine, wrong teaching that leads people away from the gospel, but this does not have to be wrong Bible teaching, though often this is just idols that are beginning to show themselves in your life. You're beginning to do things that are wandering away from God. So the shepherd's responsibility is to protect the sheep from worldliness, the idols of our culture, the subtle temptations of Satan. And so this is what your shepherds are going to attempt to do. And y'all need to understand as well, this is not just the responsibility of the shepherds. Our hope is that the congregation at large is also doing this work. I know many of you all have responsibility for certain people. Maybe you wouldn't know it, or maybe you don't see it that way, but you have some influence in somebody's life, and they listen to you. It's also our responsibility just as sheep to take care of the sheep underneath the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. But this is what your shepherds are going to attempt to do, to know, to feed, to lead, and to protect God's sheep. And we're asking that you would pray for us as we attempt to do this. And it's going to require more time from each man, but we believe that it will be time well spent. That this time will be productive, and as we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have no reason to be ashamed in that day if we do what God is calling us to do here in His Word, because it will be done in obedience and for His glory. And I know this is a lot of information that I've given you very quickly this morning, and you might have some questions that you need to have answered. I'm going to make myself available after the service. Please come and ask me. Solomon's in the back. Jeremy's back here as well. Please ask us about what this might look like going forward if you have questions. Please don't hesitate to do that, because I know right now we don't have all this figured out. This might be very messy at the very beginning, so please be gracious with us as we try to work on this. But this is our desire to better shepherd God's people. And so there's going to be some bumps in the road, but this is our aim. Let's pray to the Lord, our great shepherd. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to be a part of your church, to be able to call ourselves the sheep of your pasture. And it truly is a comfort to think of you in this manner, the way that you have communicated yourself to us as a shepherd who watches over us and delights to guide us on the path, a path of godliness and wisdom and love. Those are the still waters that you gently and quietly lead us along. And we pray, God, for each of us here, that our heart's cry, our desire would be a sheep that follows our great shepherd. And some of the men here in this church, Lord, you have called to shepherd the sheep, to be their leaders, men that one day will stand before you and give an account for the work that they've done. And we pray, God, that going forward, each of us, with your help and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, would shepherd the people here at Kaz with a heart like you have, that we would know the sheep, feed them, lead them, and protect them, and that the sheep here in this church, your people, God, that all would know they are cared for ultimately by you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.